Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Transformation Cafe with your host, Robin Misevich. Transformation Cafe, a weekly half hour of light, topical conversation about health, wellness, happiness, personal growth, spirituality, and other insights. We're glad you're here. Transformation Cafe, a fun place to nourish your soul. Now, let's get started and introduce our diners for tonight's show.
Well, hey, everybody. I want to welcome you to the Transformation Cafe. I'm your host, Robin Misevich, and we're doing part two of your being able to be stress-free during the holidays. Oh, my gosh. And I'm going to go ahead and get my co-host, Miss Amy Frost, on here right away. Hey, Amy, how are you tonight?
I am fantastic. I'm excited about tonight.
Yeah, we've got a special guest chef in the house, and she's literally a chef because, you know, we're going to be talking about food. Miss Katie Fitzgerald, she's our food guru. Hey, Katie, how are you tonight?
I'm excellent, Robin. How are you?
I am great. I would say I'm hungry, but I just had a real big meal, so I'm good. We're talking on that, but we're going to be talking about food tonight. I am really excited about the show. We're going to be talking about the wonderful ways that you can eat being guilt-free for the holidays, and yes, we're really going to talk about that. And Katie's also going to be sharing about how foods can really help you to feel calmer, to have more energy, and even help your immune system during the holidays, depending on, you know, the different, you know, positive choices that you make. And then we're going to be moving into all the different ways that you can modify recipes that actually can make them healthier, less calories, and more flavorful. So I'm really excited for us to go ahead and get on this. So, Katie, can you tell the audience, you know, just in case we've got somebody who's popped on here who has never really been to the cafe before, and we thank you for and welcome you, and we have our international audience, just a little bit about you and how you got started in being interested in being, you know, so passionate about food.
Well, I have always had a little bit of an interest in personal health and fitness as a child due to the fact that I was a professional athlete, figure skater, and a ballet dancer. And then at age 16, I unfortunately lost my mother to cancer. And that made me start to think about what is it that we can do to help our bodies to be healthy and prevent disease such as cancers and heart disease, diabetes, et cetera. So I began this journey as a hobby, and for about 20-some-odd years, I just was reading clinical studies, reading books, devouring at least 5 or 6 fitness books a year, and really immersing myself. In 2012, I realized, what am I doing here? Why am I making this a hobby? It's a passion of mine. I love to teach people how to make sense of all the crazy headlines that they read, all the conflicting clinical studies, and so I decided to pursue a master's of science in holistic nutrition, which I'm proud to say that I will probably be finished 100% in mid-January, or mid-2017. In January, I'll start writing my actual thesis. But that's really how I got started. It was really because of illness in my own family, and I didn't want anyone else to ever go through that again, and I do know that nutrition plays a huge part in most of the disease states that we face. So that's just a little bit about me.
Well, boy, I totally agree with you about, we've done several shows about just the different health choices that when you're, you know, just modifying your diet, and it can be just, gosh, you know, like we're lovely, we're going to be talking about the 80-20 rule. So I think that's what you've got going on here a little bit later about, you know, just being able to modify your diet and having it being something where you're not totally giving everything away in your diet, but you're really just making on a regular basis those good health choices that really can keep you healthy and all that. So, you know, we've got the holidays that are bringing such a promise of fun and food and sharing with our family and friends. And it also can bring up a fear of overindulgence with the weight gains and depression and anxiety. So, Katie wants you to know, believe it or not, food can actually be your friend during the holidays. So today she's going to be sharing some real-world ways of enjoying the bounty and the walk away of feeling satisfied so you're not getting derailed during your efforts of being able to eat healthy during the holidays. So where would you like to begin there, Katie?
Well, Robin, I think the best place to start, so we're all on the same page, is to just make sure when we talk about a healthy diet, that we all understand what that means. And in my world of holistic nutrition, an optimal diet really starts with whole foods. That means foods that came in the package that Mother Nature provided. So these are whole foods that are ingredients they don't contain ingredients. So if I have a box with ingredients on it, I'm not looking at a whole food. So simple enough, right? The other component to an optimal diet is that the foods that we're eating are organic in nature. The main reason for that is organic foods are less exposed to synthetic pesticides and herbicides, and so therefore we can reduce the overall toxin burden on our body. We know for a fact that external toxins and chemicals cause cancers, cause disease, cause aging. And so the more we can reduce the exposure we have to those, the better. Now, I know a bunch of people are right now going, ah, organic, it's so expensive. It's actually slightly more expensive, true. So one thing I advise for people when they're looking at organic, if you cannot afford, if you don't have the budget to go 100% organic, then at least go organic with what the World Environmental Group calls the Dirty Dozen. These are the 12, actually they're 15 now, fruits and vegetables that tend to have the highest pesticide and herbicide residue. And if you visit their website, you can find out what those Dirty Dozen are. The next component of an optimal diet is you eat seasonally. Yes, I love strawberries, but strawberries in December, that's not seasonal where I live. So seasonal foods typically are foods that just came ripe, that they're ready for harvest. So they have peak levels of nutritional content, and they're also usually best suited to what our bodies need in that particular season. Think of summer. Think of the foods that are available that come into season here in the Northern Hemisphere. Lettuce, tomatoes, all these water-rich foods, right? Because we're ready for water, we're ready for hydration, we're ready for cooling. In the winter months, we start to see things like turnips and parsnips, heartier foods, because we need some heartier substance to help us through the cold winter months. And the last component to a healthy, optimal diet is local, if you can do it, because local foods have a higher nutrient content because they haven't traversed 1,500 miles from Argentina to get to your front door. Every day that a vegetable or a fruit traverses the roads, every day that it does that, it's losing its nutrients. So the closer to the home that the food is grown, the more nutrients it's going to have. And if you're environmental like I am, it also reduces the carbon footprint. And Robin, you alluded to the 85-15 rule, which is you don't have to eat this whole organic, local, seasonal diet every single meal. 85% of the time you want to be eating this way. That means you'll have ensured your body has the supplies it needs to be healthy. The other 15% of the time, go for it. Indulge. Eat whatever you want, whatever suboptimal foods that you enjoy, whether it be a sweet, an ice cream, or for me, it would be an apple fritter from Dunkin' Donuts. I admit it, okay? So go for it, the 85-15 rule.
Okay, let's just back up for just a different second. So you were talking about the Dirty Dozen. Where would somebody go for that website to be able to check those out?
It's the environmentalworkinggroup.org, so it's EWG.org.
Uh-huh. Okay.
And when they get there, they're going to find the Dirty Dozen.
Mm-hmm.
And the Clean 15, and those are 15 fruits and vegetables that really you don't need to go organic if you can't afford it.
Okay, cool. Good to know, because I think that's something that we really want to make sure that people are aware of.
Yeah.
And, you know, when you go and talk about the seasonal stuff along with having it be something that's local, I know one thing that I really appreciate, well, you know, I'm very blessed to be living in California, so I'm always looking at what's going on in our farmers' markets. And just seeing what's local, with just what's coming from the fields, just in our local area. And isn't there a kind of a rule when it comes to local? Is like you want to try to buy foods that are within about 100 miles of where you live. Is that kind of true?
Ideally.
Okay.
Unfortunately, not all of us are as blessed to live within 100 miles of the San Joaquin Valley, which is known as basically the fruit and vegetable basket of the United States. But that being said, I used to live in Las Vegas, Nevada, and much of my produce came in from Southern California and from the Central Valley of California. So that would be considered local versus, for instance, getting tomatoes or strawberries from Mexico, from Central Mexico. That would not be considered local. So if you're eating seasonally, pretty much the way to tell if it's seasonal, if you're wondering, how do I know if it's seasonal, there's lots of websites, but the very easiest way is this. the price in the grocery store. If strawberries are two for $1 or tomatoes are $1.29 a pound, it's in season. When strawberries are $4.99 for a basket or $6.99 for a basket, or right now, for instance, asparagus is $4.99 for a one-pound bunch, that's not in season. In season, asparagus is going to be half that price. So price, let the price tell you what's in season and what's not.
Brilliant.
Okay.
That's really brilliant.
That's a good tip. Yeah, that's a very good tip. So, Amy, do you have any questions with Kate's covered so far?
Well, I just want to throw one thing out really quickly. Katie has been a guide for me with food and getting through menopause and life in general. And I'm really grateful how she takes very complicated things and make them user-friendly. She's created an amazing chart, graph, handout for us, which will be Andy will put on the website for us. So very excited about that. So everything we're talking about will be in a user-friendly form. And I know you're going to be talking about, Katie, the food is your friend, which is for a lot of us, it's been an enemy for a long time. So changing the shift to food is your friend, I'm very excited about it. And four different ways during the holiday season. And I know you're going to walk us through those four ways. The one that's really coming up for me, you're talking about giving your mood a boost. I know I'm working with several people already who are really struggling with grief from their past, losing people, things that have happened. And so I think all these others are great, too. And I'm especially excited about the mood boosting.
Excellent. Well, the mood boosting and the nourishing your nostalgia, which we haven't talked about yet, which is a big component, I think, of the holidays. And that brings me up to the four ways that that food can be your friend in the winter holidays. I know that most of us, when we think of food in any season, we think of calories. I want you to all kind of take a moment, take a deep breath, and shift a moment, and realize that food is more than calories. It's actually information to your body, and it tells your body a lot of things. And it can tell positive messages, and it can tell it negative messages. So with the right foods, you have four ways that you can actually improve your situation and make friends with your plate, so to speak. The first way is foods can help you keep your immune system really, really strong. The second way is food can provide you with that energy to get through all the hecticness that this season evokes, right? The long, busy days. It, as Amy alluded to, it can give your mood a boost, and as I just mentioned, it can nourish your nostalgia. So let's kind of deeply explore those different components.
So how would we go ahead and be building our immune system? With like
so
different
for the immune system.
So we know our holiday, you know.
Yeah, well, we know that this is the time of year, right? Cold, flu, nobody wants that. Because not only don't you want to feel miserable, but you want to be able to partake in all the stuff going on. And if you're not feeling well, you're sneezing, you're coughing, your runny nose, you're not going to go out and hang out and do the things that the holiday entails. So there's a couple of different ways that we can nourish our bodies to help our immune systems along. There's three key vitamins, and they also happen to be powerful, powerful antioxidants, which not only help your immune system, but actually help you with all sorts of disease prevention. And those are vitamin A, C, and E. And you might have noticed that it's an acronym, ACE. So let's ACE your immune system. Let's make it an A1 plus, right? So vitamin C actually helps to increase your white blood cells. These are the cells that actually fight infections. And vitamin C has been shown to help lessen the severity and length of a cold. So foods that are rich in C, I'm sure you already thought of one. Citrus. Yes, everything with citrus is high in C. But even better than that are bell peppers. They actually have twice as much vitamin C per 100 grams as citrus.
Now that's shocking.
And my favorite. Pardon?
That's shocking to me. I had no idea.
I know, most people think oranges, vitamin C, but actually bell peppers have way more. You also get vitamin C from broccoli and spinach. And broccoli and spinach also contain vitamin A and vitamin E. Remember, we're trying to ACE our immune system. So one quick tip, though, to note about vitamin C. It is what we call a water-soluble vitamin. That means that it doesn't stay in your body. It just flushes right out if you don't need it at that moment. So you have to continually take in vitamin C to keep your body's reserves high enough. Vitamin E is the next player that I want to talk about. We'll talk a little bit about A within vitamin C, vitamin E, and some other nutrients. But vitamin E, it's a key in the regulation and maintenance of your immune system. So without sufficient vitamin E, your immune system doesn't know what it's supposed to do and when it's supposed to do it. It's kind of like sending your kid off without a schedule and hoping it's going to come home on the right bus. So vitamin E is really essential there. And generally, vitamin E occurs in the fats of vegetable foods. You heard me right, the fats of vegetable foods. Most people equate fat with meat. But in reality, nuts and leafy greens and avocados and sesame seeds, these all contain vitamin E. Now, we want to make sure, though, that when we go for vegetable oils, that we're going for cold-pressed vegetable oils, such as sesame oil, olive oil, macadamia nut oil, avocado oil. We want to avoid the traditional vegetable oil in the grocery store on the vegetable aisle. Crisco is not our friend, just so you know. And I don't own stock in them, and I'm not getting paid to say that. Anyway, and keep in mind, I mentioned that vitamin C was a water-soluble vitamin. Well, vitamin E is a fat-soluble vitamin. So if you eat foods and with vitamin E in them, but you don't have any subsequent additional dietary fat in that meal, you're not going to be able to absorb those nutrients. So don't go fat-free. Fat-free is not a good way to go. Go natural fat, but not fat-free. Pardon me. The next essential mineral that helps out with the immune system is zinc. And this works synergistically with vitamin A to really inhibit the replication of several viruses, including those associated with the common cold. And it also is really key in the function of many of the different types of immune cells, such as T cells. Foods that are rich in zinc include calf's liver, grass-fed beef, spinach. Oh, spinach keeps popping up here. Cremini, yogurt, pumpkin seeds, and sesame seeds. And by the way, both calf's liver and spinach are also rich in vitamin A. So when you eat those foods, you get both your zinc and your A. And remember, they work synergistically. Isn't it funny how nature kind of provides that way? So,
Katie, I want to ask you a question. I have a box of these nasal swabs that are zinc. They're supposedly have research showing that it keeps colds from, you're supposed to take it the second you think you're near a cold. Do you have any feelings about those?
Absolutely. In fact, research has shown that zinc is very, very impactful at preventing a cold from coming on and definitely reducing the severity and the time that cold takes to clear up. So the moment you think you have a cold, go for the zinc swabs are really the best way because they're protecting the respiratory passages, your nasal passages, so that if you intake any kind of virus or any kind of bug, you're going to be protected. And it doesn't hurt if you're traveling, which we do in the holidays, right? We get on an airplane and we go see family and friends. It doesn't hurt to take those swabs along and use them even if you don't have symptoms. You're not going to overdose on zinc just by using those swabs. Okay. Keep in mind, though, you don't want to be overdosing with zinc supplements because that can become toxic. So, using those swabs and using them as a precautionary before you get on an airplane, go for it. Research
supports
that.
Okay, great. Thank you.
Sure.
Yeah, that's good to know. I wanted to bring up the old pumpkin seeds. Now that we're past Halloween and people are like, what am I going to do with my pumpkin?
There you go.
I love to go ahead and take all the seeds and all that stuff and just go ahead and put a little bit of different herbs and stuff on it and just bake it in the oven and eat the seeds. Oh my gosh, so
beautiful,
good. Yeah,
beautiful.
So just kind of
make
everybody have fun with that, and yeah, and just you know, instead of you could throw them out on the grass and hope you get a new pumpkin. That works out too.
Well, the good news is that pumpkin seeds are going
to
pop.
I'm like, I'll just throw that on the grass. And the next thing you know, you got pumpkins. But, the pumpkin seeds, you know, making that a great snack. I love to snack on that at night, stuff once you make them.
Nice.
They're just delicious. So.
Wonderful, wonderful, healthy snack to have. In fact, pumpkin seeds are going to make an appearance in our discussion tonight several times. So I'm glad you're mentioning that. Keep those. Don't throw them away.
Yeah, definitely. Anyway, you had a thing on here you wanted to talk about, yogurt. I wanted with the yogurt, is that similar to having a probiotic, or is that a little bit different with being able to have that as food as your friend?
If dairy is not your friend because you cannot digest it or you have sensitivities to it, yogurt can be a friend because of the live cultures it contains, specifically Lactobacillus bulgaricus and Streptococcus thermophiles.
Now she's showing off,
mouthfuls.
Okay.
Big mouthfuls, and don't ask me to say ECGC in its real form because that will never come out right. But the live bacteria are what they think help to, that they think that's what has the immunosuppressant or immunostimulatory effect, and that they can suppress pathogenic or bad bugs from growing. So if you can't eat yogurt, then go for a probiotic that has L. bulgaricus and S. thermophilus. I can never say that word. If you haven't noticed. But if you can eat yogurt, then go for whole raw milk yogurt, okay, or make your own. Don't go for fat-free. Don't go for low-fat. Remember, we're on a whole food diet, not Whole Foods. That's the grocery store. Whole food diet, where we eat things the way nature created. And nature did not create milk with no fat. So very important that way. But definitely you can take a probiotic. And definitely if you're doing a probiotic, make sure those two strains are in there. And opt for at least 20 billion colonies per capsule. Because anything below that, you're really not getting anything. So.
Wow. Okay. Good to know. So have you ever made your own yogurt?
I have. I have many times.
Is it pretty easy to do, or?
Super easy to do, and it doesn't require a whole lot of special equipment. For, you know, $9, you can buy this little incubator that just keeps everything at the right temperature, and it takes a little time on the stove. You do have to put the milk in, get it to the right temperature, cool it off to the right temperature, and then put it in the incubator, and leave it, don't touch it for 12 hours, and then it comes out beautiful. It's kind of nice.
Where would you get an incubator?
Online at Amazon. Just look it up, yogurt maker. Amazon has everything, doesn't
it? Amazon Prime. There we go. You could have it
Amazon
tomorrow.
Amazon Prime. Okay. I should have said Amazon Prime. Sorry.
early Christmas present for yourself. You can get just the gift that keeps on giving. There you go. It's all good.
Exactly.
So I'm excited you're going to be talking about providing energy that you need to get through these long days. You know, we're shopping, we're spending evenings and out with all kinds of holiday stuff. So what are some things that you can recommend that are really going to help us to just have that energy that we need to be keep on going? You know, once we're done with work, we've got all these other things that are, you know, all the fun stuff. Make sure we are able to have the energy to do what we want to do during the holidays.
Well, the key thing is you've got to give your mitochondria, that's a fancy word for the little factories that make energy in your cells, you've got to give them the B vitamins. These B vitamins plus the magnesium and chromium really help the body to convert the nutrients you consume into energy the mitochondria can use to actually generate and movement and energy in your body. And the nice thing about the B vitamins is they're out there all over the place. You eat meat, you got them. You eat mushrooms, you got them. You eat your bell peppers, your broccoli, your yogurt, your cheese. Fill your plate with some green leafy vegetables. Add some nuts. Pair it with a high protein such as beans, and you have yourself a plate full of B vitamins.
You don't do that 85-15. You have that salad, and then you can go and have some kind of a wonderful, pumpkin cheesecake. There we go.
There you go. And it's got pumpkin. And we already talked about pumpkin.
I love that. I love how you are with that, Katie. It's just like, you know, it's all about, you know, you're not going to be, you know, we were talking before the show, and she says, I'm not going to talk about depriving yourself of anything. I'm going to be about being positive and making it where all this stuff is delicious. Because that's really true. Once you start eating this way, you really crave all that kind of stuff, you know, having these kind of salads and just different kinds of real quick stir fries and things like that where they have all these different things on it. Because, I mean, we keep talking about, you know, the bell peppers and the spinach and the broccoli and the mushrooms and all that stuff. So, you know, gosh, you just have it around on a regular basis and you're just incorporating it into a meal somehow every day. You're good to go. That's exciting.
You're good to go.
And it just makes shopping so much easier, you know, along with all the, you know, being able to have your
essential fatty acids and stuff like that with all the good fats and stuff like that.
Right.
So I would just love that you talk about, because so many people just think, oh, I have to get rid of all the fat in my diet. And especially women, I think it's so important that we know that there's certain fats that our body really needs. That's why, you know, avocados are such a good friend to women. So it's just something that, you know,
absolutely.
Once you kind of realize that, how important they are, I'd love for you to kind of expand on that a bit. Just, you know, easy
sure.
ways that we can do that on a regular basis. And Amy, if you could talk a little bit about how you've really kind of changed your diet, thanks to Katie, and how you feel about all your stuff now, you know, where you are with, since you've changed some stuff with your menopause. That's awesome.
Yep.
Well, I think more than anything is really going with the whole foods and paying attention to how my body is affected by what I eat. And she certainly helped me to do that by logging and then helping adapt. But the key is being able to, not feel deprived, yet how do I find ways to make it easy for me, which Katie is so great at. And I did, there's something I'm just dying to say. I have to say this in here, and we've got Katie's notes here, and she talks about holy basil, Katie.
Well, holy basil is one of those nutrients that's going to help give you a mood boost. And the interesting thing about it is it also helps your immune system to fight off disease and infections, colds especially, and bronchitis. So you got to love a holy basil. It's what we call an adaptogen, and it's one of these substances that when you're stressed, it helps calm you down, and when you're fatigued, it helps bring you up. It adapts. It helps you adapt, and it's part of the mood boosting that we can talk about that, you know, I'll just make a real brief statement that every fruit and vegetable out there will help mood boost, okay? So we don't need to berate that one. But I want to talk really about those adaptogens and your omega-3s, you alluded to them, and your B vitamins. Your omega-3 fatty acids, your B vitamins, and your adaptogens are really the way you're going to mood boost. So, yes, don't avoid fats. You need fat. Fat, by the way, is an essential nutrient in our bodies. Without fat, you die, quite frankly. And there are certain fats you need and certain fats you should avoid. Naturally occurring fats, eat all you want. Man-made fats, also known as trans fats, get the heck out of their way. Do not have them in your diet. For the B vitamins, again, if you fill your plate with lots of leafy greens and you fill your plate with the bell peppers, the broccolis, the eggs, everything we've talked about already has the B vitamins that are going to help you with your mood. And the adaptogens, you mentioned holy basil. And by the way, holy basil, also known as Tulsi, T-U-L-S-I, in case you see it in the grocery store, has been in use in Ayurvedic medicine for 3,000 years to help people to restore vitality and vigor. And another adaptogen, Chinese ginseng, the most famous of Chinese herbs, has been valued in therapeutic benefits for approximately 7,000 years. And who needs the clinical trials? But they do exist, by the way. Clinical trials have shown that ginseng significantly improves your ability to cope with mental and emotional stress. So go for it. Get those adaptogens into your system. Eat those foods full of omega-3 fatty acids, which include things like walnuts. Hey, it's the season of walnuts, right? I don't know about you, but I grew up eating walnuts at Christmas time. And pumpkin seeds. These are also very, very full of omega-3 fatty acids. Some other really nice omega-3s to think about are what's called ALA, which is alpha-linolenic acid. And these actually are a huge source of energy. So they not only help us with the mood, but they help us with energy. In fact, they provide 85% of our dietary ALA is broken down into energy sources for our body. So, you know, go for it. Don't shy away from the fats. Whatever you do, don't shy away from the fats.
Okay, we have just a couple minutes left. We've been, you know, zipping through all this different stuff. There's so much information here. We're going to have to do another show. But anyway, what are some of the things that we can do for easy recipe changes? So we want to make sure that we've got some things on the tail end here for people to feel like, you know, hey, I can go through the holidays. It's delicious. It's that much more healthy for me. And, you know, it's got the good fats. So it's something that's really helping me to keep balanced as I go through the holidays.
I'm going to start with my favorite, mashed potatoes. You can take your mashed potatoes and simply remove the butter and add olive oil instead. You can remove the milk and add Greek yogurt instead. These both these moves reduce the saturated fats that improve the protein, the yogurt improves the protein, but both of them improve the overall nutritional components, the overall vitamins and nutrients. If you want to go even further, you can switch out half the potatoes for cauliflower and make a half cauliflower, half potato mash. When it comes to stuffing, you can take your stuffing, get rid of the white bread, get rid of the Mrs. McCubbins or whatever the name of that packaged stuff is. Start from fresh and use whole grain sprouted wheat bread or sprouted multigrain bread as your base. You can add tons of vegetables. You can add mushrooms. You could add parsnips and turnips and butternut squash. So you've upped the vitamin content. If you really want to go real extreme on your recipe remake on your stuffing, get rid of the bread altogether and replace it with wild rice so that you've got a whole different sense of crunchiness, a little different texture, higher fiber, and definitely more nutrients. If you want to look at things like your green bean casserole, which is one of my favorites, go to foodtv.com, look up Ina Garten's recipe for for green bean casserole. She makes her own mushroom soup. No condensed can soup, no high sodium full of nonsense soup. Beautiful mushrooms, beautiful broth. Those are some of the simple things that I would recommend. And broth is a really good one. Instead of using the broth you get in the grocery store, from now until the day before Thanksgiving, start to collect all your leftover bits and pieces from when you make meals. Take your potato skins, take your carrot ends, take your celery bits that you didn't put into your dish, take the skins off of your onions, and save them up, and then put them all in a big, huge pot, fill it up with water, put a bunch of different seasonings like bay leaf and pepper and maybe some caper berries and some kombu. Yes, kombu from your favorite sushi, and let it simmer for 4 or 5 hours. Skim everything off. You've got your own beautiful mineral broth. So those are just a few things that you can do to really change your recipes up and amp up the volume on the nutrition.
Well, gosh, I want to thank you, Kitty. This has just been just packed full with so much information. What a gift. What a gift to be able to know that, I can do 85-15 and I'm not feel guilty about that. So any final words you'd like to say on that, Amy?
I really love Katie's point about finding ways to nourish yourself with nostalgia. Find recipes that you love that bring up memories and find ways that make them work for you and not deny yourself, but find new ways to eat maybe not only what you're eating but how much you're eating of it, but not depriving.
Yep. I will tell you right now, Thanksgiving would not be the same without my mother's mac and cheese. And my mom changed her residence to heaven many years ago, and quite honestly, she's at the table when we put that mac and cheese on the table. So, yes, I eat that mac and cheese. This year I'm going to have to make it with some gluten-free pasta because I have to go gluten-free due to a medical condition, but that mac and cheese will be on the table, and it should
be. Awesome. Yeah, awesome. So how can people get a hold of you?
They can reach me via my Facebook page, which is, I can never remember it properly, but it's facebook.com, Amazing Skin Begins, I should say, Amazing Skin Begins. And through that page, you'll find my phone number, my email, and also links to my blog that I do on WordPress.
Okay. And just remembering, go back to the, checking out that Dirty Dozen at the EWG.com for the Dirty Dozen and the Clean 15. I love that. I'm going to check that out. And, finding ways that you can just really feel healthy and happy with the holidays. And, here's to just that much more having things that we enjoy and not feeling guilty about any of it. So thank you, Katie.
Right.
I want to just thank you. And
thank you,
Miss Amy, as always, for joining us here at the cafe.
Mm-hmm. Can I say one more thing? If you have
I think everybody really, go ahead, Katie.
Just keep in mind, one meal, not even two meals, will derail or destroy your health. So enjoy.
Okay.
Yay.
And we want to thank you all for joining us here at the cafe. And just really wishing everybody happy and healthy and just, you know, just a new place of just oneness and just being together with the holidays and having it be that much more joyful. That there's so much to be grateful for in the world. We want to thank everybody for joining us here at the cafe.
We hope you enjoyed listening to the Transformation Cafe podcast. To learn more, visit transformation-cafe.com for show notes, guest information, and links to previous shows. You can also subscribe to the Transformation Cafe podcast on iTunes. Join us again next time at the Transformation Cafe, a fun place to nourish your soul.